Okay, so what I wanted to do is just to explore how God wants us to trust Him in the big picture of life, and then more specifically, how He wants us to trust Him in our day-to-day life following Jesus. The first way that God wants us to trust Him, so these are the kind of the big picture things that really do shape and colour the way that we think and the way that we live. And we're certainly blessed to have God's word, aren't we? Like, imagine life without the Bible. We would be relying on oral tradition and people making up or adjusting things to suit themselves. But we have this beautiful truth of God's word, His love letter to us that explains His heart and His purpose and our purpose and our part, you know, the past and the future. And we get to enjoy the truth. And, you know, even when you hear a message like I'm sharing today, you get to check whether what I say is actually in line with the truth of God through His word. The next thing He wants us to trust in, I'll just do the WWJD, what would Jesus do? The ways, the works, the words of Jesus. Jesus came with a transformational, revolutionary approach to life, a kingdom life, which really turned the world upside down. And it's just the invitation to the most abundant and beautiful life possible. And God wants us to trust in the truth of Jesus and the way He lived and what He taught and how He encourages us to follow Him. The next, probably the most central one of all, is trusting in the outcome of the crucifixion. What Jesus did on the cross wasn't just some guy dying unfairly. He died not just for you, He died as you. And His substitutionary death opened up a whole new life for you to be invited to step into. You get forgiven for all your sins, not that you don't experience the consequences of things that you do wrong or don't do right, but your relationship with God isn't affected. The opening comes through the cross for us, the cross and the resurrection, for us to have a relationship with the very living Creator of all. The other thing that God really wants us to trust in, because when Jesus left, He said, you know, I'm going away, but things get even better. And He kind of does this high five tag with the Holy Spirit, who comes in on the scene and just brings the church to life, quite literally and figuratively. And so God wants us to trust in the promise of the Holy Spirit, not just for the early disciples, but for all of us here and now. And the fifth one in terms of the big picture is that Jesus will return. He promised that He would. He was going and He's coming back. And He wants us to live out of the confident expectation that things aren't always going to be this messy. Life is going to change brilliantly, perfectly, on His return. And He wants us to be mindful of that, not fearful of that or scared, but just anticipating and using the opportunity that we have to share the truth of the kingdom with others so that they can enjoy all this as well. Amen. So just to move on to day-to-day trusting God. And what I felt God wanting us to do is to understand that our lives, we are in a wrestle. And if I can be honest, in my holidays, I had some great days with God. And I had some days where whether God was kind of recognized or realized was marginal. And so those days where I'm with God and I start the day and I just say, God, thank You, be with me, listen to His word, look for opportunities of enjoying the blessings and creation place around us, the challenges between our children were worked out with love and intentionality and just being looking for opportunities of actually loving people throughout the day and reflecting on what's God saying to me and just enjoying the day. Had some of those great days. Other days, stayed up too late watching some sporting event, rolled into the day, barely gave God a thought and just lived the day, what's comfortable, any negative interactions with family was like reacted to or glossed over or whatever else, and just living for myself. And I don't know if any of you kind of have these good days and bad days, these godly days and these not necessarily ungodly but non-godly days. And it's just so helpful. Again, the Word of God is so honest and raw, and I love the way that Paul helps us to see that this is a reality for all of us. Every one of us has a wrestle. We want to do what's good, but I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. If I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. And I've discovered this principle of life that when I want to do what is right, I never really do what is wrong. And I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power that's also at war within me. This power makes me a slave to sin that's still wrestling within me. What a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that's dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Who knows this wrestle? A couple of people? Great. The good news is in the very next chapter, Paul goes on to explain the victory, the promise, the good news, the solution to our flesh versus our spirit problem. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of the sinful nature can never please God. But you're not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit living in you. So it is possible for us to have an increasing victory over the impact of sin in our lives. And God wants to transform us to have increasing freedom over our selfish nature. Good news? So just thinking about the things that I did or could have done to move myself from having a bad day to a godly day. So some of the things that we can do to help move from non-godly days to godly days is devotion, reading the Bible, reminding ourselves of our true identity. Who are we in God's eyes? Prayer, praying for God to be with us, praying for wisdom when we have difficulties or challenges in our day, praying for provision for God to provide what we need, and praying for the needs of others. All good things that move us from one to the other. The other thing is rest and rhythm, just doing pace God's way, just being interruptible, being able to stop and pause and enjoy life in the rhythm that God wants us to. To love, if we love people, if we boldly go out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness, we're going to have great days. Being generous, looking for opportunities of living generously with our gifts, with our resources, with our time, and reflecting, asking God to show us things in life, what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, how can we can grow. So there's lots of stuff that we can do, yeah? And it sounds pretty exhausting if we think, how do we tick off all those boxes every day? But the good news is the one thing that God invites us to do, if we can just trust Him for one thing every day, if we want to be good at and enjoy those things, all God asks us to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. The Holy Spirit is available and necessary for us to live the life that God intends for us. The Holy Spirit was vital for Jesus himself lived under the power of the Holy Spirit. We see at his baptism that the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove. And then Jesus went into ministry full of the Holy Spirit. How can we expect to live our lives following Jesus and doing even more than what Jesus did without the Holy Spirit. And one really important thing about the Holy Spirit, and I know Chris was really helpful reminding me, Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit isn't some cosmic force that's at work and hovering around. He is in a spiritual form, but he is a person. And we read here Jesus referring to the Holy Spirit as him, not as it. The Holy Spirit is a person, separate to the Father, separate to Jesus, but part of the Godhead, part of the Trinity. And it's just helpful to relate to the Holy Spirit as a person. I found that very helpful. The Holy Spirit also, he wants to guide us through life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your understanding. Seek his will in all we do, and he will show us what paths to take. And that's through any day and every day. The simple question and invitation to go, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to approach today? What's important to you? How should I go about this conversation? How should I go about my work? How should I go about my studies? What should I read in the Bible? Should I have a day off? Should I rest from everything? Holy Spirit is there, available, to help us navigate every single day of our lives in the best possible way. And the Holy Spirit empowers us. He just does. He gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us extraordinary abilities to enjoy life and to help others enjoy life in ways beyond our natural abilities. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. He helps the Bible come alive. He helps us understand the truth of life as we experience it and going, how does that work? What should I do? What did I do right? What did I do wrong? The Holy Spirit is there to guide us into all truth. Wants to give us confident hope. What a beautiful verse. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to be so confident that he does work all things for good throughout your life as you trust in him. The Holy Spirit wants to help us to pray. How often do we go, I don't know what to pray for that person's situation, their illness, their work situation. And so often I just go, Holy Spirit, what do I pray? And he'll either give me thoughts and or bring up something in the person that I'm meeting with to identify what needs to be prayed for, or he's also gives us this beautiful language in his spirit that can cut through the logic. The gift of tongues is so brilliant at knowing how to pray when you don't know what to pray. And so God offers that to us. And I just encourage you, if you haven't experienced the gift of tongues, the gift of speaking the Spirit, ask God for it. He wants you to enjoy it. The Holy Spirit fills us, fills our hearts with his love. When we least feel like it, when we're stressed, when things aren't going well, we can ask the Holy Spirit, give me your love for people. Give me your love for myself. Give me your love. The Holy Spirit promises to fill us with the love of God whenever we need it. We benefit in fellowship. We benefit in teaching. But nothing's like the Holy Spirit to kind of help me understand something. Boom, he will do that. Help me to understand this passage. He'll bring it to life in one way or another. The Holy Spirit is there to be your number one teacher. The Holy Spirit is who is the person that God uses to continue to transform us. It's the Spirit coming into us that helps us to become a new creation, but it's not just a one step. It's a continuing transformation that happens through the Spirit. So inviting the Holy Spirit, change me, to help me change the way I think, to align with the way God thinks. Help me to change the way that I live. And he's there. He promises to help you to do that. And lastly, and probably most importantly, he helps us to confirm our identity as God's children. It's because we are, as this beautiful verse, Romans 8, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you haven't received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. We're so much more important to God than that. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba Father. And knowing and experiencing the Spirit living in us is our, gives us a guaranteed inheritance. We can be confident that we're saved when we know the Spirit is living in us. And that should break off all the fears, all the insecurities, so that we can live out of the confidence of who we are to God. Amen? So can I tell you, and I'm just finishing up now, that God wants to take the pressure off, you know? All of these things that you can't read on the board, they're really helpful, and they're really important, and they're really in the Bible. But sometimes we do it out of our own effort or to impress God or something. The Holy Spirit encourages us, prompts us, reminds us, empowers us to enjoy doing the things that are good for us. And He wants to do that in all, every day of our lives, every one of us. Don't think, oh, that's for those people who have been here for a long time or those people who really know God's word. This promise is for every one of you, every one of us. God wants us all to enjoy the Holy Spirit every single day of our lives. Because I do want to give you an opportunity to not just hear the word, but to experience the word and to enjoy the word. And the reality is, and the truth is, in Jesus' own words here, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he can never enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. The physical is merely physical. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised that I've told you, you must be born again, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and sanctified. And being filled with the Spirit isn't just one thing that happens with salvation. It's something that God wants to do again and again and again. And I think for all of us in the room here, we'll kind of probably be in one of four positions. There'll be some who know exactly what I'm talking about and going, yeah, how sweet it is. And people who know more about the Holy Spirit and have experience of the Holy Spirit way beyond what I've yet to experience. But that's the beautiful thing. It is a journey where we get to enjoy more and more of Him. There may be some of you who have had spiritual experiences and encounters with God or things that have happened from time to time. And you might say He's been involved in your life, but not all the time. And there may be some of you who this is like, I don't know what he's talking about. This sounds a bit hocus pocus. This is the truth of God's word. This is the way God intends us to have the best life possible through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then there'll be people like me before I received the Holy Spirit, and only, 30 odd years ago. And it's like, I know about the Holy Spirit. I knew about the Holy Spirit. I heard people talking about the Holy Spirit. I'd seen people demonstrate the Holy Spirit and testify to the work of the Holy Spirit, but not me until I did, until I asked, until I invited the Holy Spirit to come into my life. And so I just want to finish off, and I'll invite a couple of my friends to pray for everyone in the room. Again, it's between you and God. It's not something that I can force you to do, but I just want to invite every one of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It may be for the first time, it may be for the gazillionth time. It's not a one-off experience that God wants us to do. It's something He wants us to enjoy again and again and again. And all it takes is asking and welcoming and embracing and enjoying and journeying and growing. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So I just want to invite two people who have helped me to understand this, the person of the Holy Spirit and how brilliant he is and how to partner with him to enjoy life and ministry to the max. And that's Brian and Chris. So if I could invite you both.
Just a short testimony of my own. I used to struggle for years to read the scriptures. It didn't make much sense to me at all. It wasn't until I actually met the Holy Spirit, because he's the author of the scriptures. It wasn't to that point, from that day on, the scriptures just alive to me. So that's just my testimony to do with the Spirit. And Lord Jesus, you said that you have to go leave us so something greater can come, and that's your Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. Lord, you search deeply our hearts. You know the hunger that we have for more of you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we release you now in the name of Jesus to fill and to overflow our congregation here, Lord, this morning. We release fire. We release the word I get, we release comfort through your Spirit. And as Brad spoke on trust this morning, I want to just reassure you the Holy Spirit is very trustworthy. And so, Lord, we do. We release that trust in you. Holy Spirit, we love you. You hovered over creation. We ask you, and I release you, Holy Spirit, to hover over here and to infest each and every one of us, Lord, with your truth and your love. Lord, we declare that we'll know you in a new way, a more powerful way, Lord. And we do. We give you permission, Holy Spirit, to speak into each part of our lives, Lord. And Lord, we declare that we will follow your voice, Holy Spirit. Yeah, and we do. We ask, Holy Spirit, I ask you to release fire. To release fire in each and every one of us.
Thank you for your word. That reminds us to keep on being filled continually. Thank you that you are continually wanting to overflow your life and your love in us, Holy Spirit. And Jesus, we love those words when you stood up and you said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty,
yes,
let him come to me and drink. So we just bring our thirst to you. We just say, I'm one of the anyones. Me, Jesus, here. We're thirsty. Yes. We're coming to you. We're drinking. And we're trusting in your promise that out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. We receive afresh your rivers this morning. And we thank you, Jesus, that your promises are true. We trust your word. We trust your promise. And we receive your living water afresh this morning.